Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We have a child dedication today as well, so we're excited about that, and we're going to open up in Ephesians 6 in just a minute, so go ahead and turn there, and we're going to look at this aspect, because the reality, we're to make disciples around the world, and we're to make disciples around the block and in our own home. Our theme for 2019 has been leaving a legacy. We want to leave a legacy, and we're asking this simple question: what are we leaving behind? If we realize that we have a heritage behind us from the family life that we've had, some of it is good, some of it we want to transition out of and strengthen, but we want to take the heritage we have and to build a legacy, to accomplish what God ultimately wants us to do. And I want us to ask that question today: what are we leaving behind? Especially when it comes to our family. As I think of the heritage that we can create, because the things we're doing right now, what are we leaving behind? It's the decisions we are making at this moment in our life. Our actions, the priorities that we set, the way we spend our time, our finances, or whatever. God wants us to make a difference in this world. He wants us to make an impact. And there's no greater area than in our family. As I think of being a pastor for 27 years here, I could say, you know, part of my legacy is this church, and that would be true. Maybe part of my legacy is being remembered for my sermons or my reputation or the way that I just deal with life. But the reality, all those fall very short as compared to the heritage and the legacy of family. You know, I want the world to come to Christ, but more than anything, I want my children and grandchildren to know Jesus as Savior. And I think sometimes, you know, yeah, I'm a little, there are certain people that I want to invest in, that I want to make sure end up in heaven, right? And it's those closest to us that we have the greatest influence on. And so God wants us to create this legacy, to leave a legacy, but it depends on what we are doing in our life. Because here's the reality. You can't change yesterday. Maybe you've done some things wrong. Maybe you didn't always live for God. Maybe as a parent, you didn't raise your kids in church or whatever, but you can make a decision today, right? You can do the right thing today. A great leader named John Maxwell, you've probably heard of him before. When he turned 60, he came up with a new definition of what success is. And here's his definition of success. A number of years ago, he said this: success is those closest to me respect me the most. Here's an international speaker, somebody that goes around the world speaking and teaching people about leadership. But when it came to his legacy, he said, here's what success really is: those closest to me respecting me the most. There's a verse in Psalm 101. We have it on the screen behind us. Verse 2, and it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? So the psalmist is talking to God. And he says this: I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'm going to look back here. You see the same thing I see, right? Yeah, isn't that? That gets distracting sometimes, right? Hello.
Hello.
So as we are talking about leaving a legacy, we wanted to surprise my dad.
You are surprising me, by the way, yeah.
And talk to him. And just thinking about leaving a legacy and making a marker, talking about family. As I was talking to Lauren this morning, we were just talking about many things that our father has rubbed off on us and his character, how it's just moved over to us. And there's also some things that haven't been able to move over to us. And whenever he comes on a stage, he's able to just light it up. And as soon as the lights hit his bald head, it just goes.
It lights up.
Thank everyone.
You. He got my sense of humor. That's our legacy.
And yes. I got that one from Lauren, too. So. But my father has made such an impact in my life. Everything that I can say about who I am and the man I've become is because of him. He has shown me what it is to love, how to love a wife, how to love my mother, how to be a man, stand in truth, and understand that. And
As I was thinking about it, I was thinking of the verse, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they shall not depart from it. And that is just such a verse that my father has held true to. He's taught us what it means to be a Christian, to understand that, to dive deep in the word, to love your family, and just be a man of God. And I know that in my own life, because of him, that I will not depart from God. I will stay in his word, and I will stay in that. And I love you, and I just want you to know that you're the greatest man in my life. I won't trust anyone over you.
Thank you, bud. Love you, too. Love you.
So we wanted to interrupt you guys just to kind of brag on our pastor. He truly is the man that he is up here at home as well. Just throughout our lives, he has been... He just really made our family a priority. He has never worked too much to where we felt like we lacked a father, and we're really grateful for that. I want to tell you guys a little story because this past weekend, it reminded me of it. So when I was a child, I was very shy, and I didn't want to talk on the phone to anyone or ride roller coasters or eat weird food, and he made me do a lot of things, and I would just cry and cry and cry. Like, I didn't want to call Pizza Hut and order pizza, and he made me, and I cried. But now I'm not scared to call Pizza Hut. And and also, we went to King's Dominion as a child, and he would force me to ride the rides, and I, again, would just bawl my eyes out. My mom would be like, Tim, don't make her. But he made me. And now I love roller coasters. So this past weekend, we went to King's Dominion, and I had said, hey, Dad, are you going to come ride a ride with us? And he said, are you going to make me? And I said, yep, I'm going to make you. So he went on the Anaconda with me, Maria, and Garrett. And after, we regretted it because our heads were shaking and we had headaches. But it just really meant a lot to me that something that you made me do as a child, you kind of held your word to that, and you did it with me. Also, just the relationship that we have. He fills us spiritually, but also relationally, our family is very strong and very close because of him. He's really intentional with us. So we love you and we respect you. Thank you for being the dad that you've been.
Well, thank you.
Love you.
Oh, I got one too. Oh,
yeah. All right, I wasn't going to say anything because I knew I'd get up here and cry. But man, I gave my dad a hard time growing up, and I said, I'm not going to parent like you. And I said, I'm going to let my kids express themselves and show emotions. And now, when Maya's having a tantrum on the floor, he says, man, she's really showing her emotions. And now I think maybe he knew a little bit more than I thought. But I love you, Dad.
Thank you. Love you. Thanks, guys. Well, I didn't expect that, so thank you, guys. When I saw him come in, I was like, hey, all my kids are here except John, and I appreciate you being here. Let's do the invitation, all right? I really do have just a couple simple thoughts in Ephesians. And here the psalmist said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You see, what really demonstrates our heart is not what we do at church, not necessarily what we do in the office or in the community, but it's the way we live at home. And sometimes the smiles we have at church, the presentation that we present, we kind of act differently at home. Maybe the things we watch on TV, the attitudes we have toward our spouse, our kids, the way we do things in private, you know, we kind of get so comfortable that we really don't demonstrate that love and that support that we really need to. How do we understand the heart of someone? It really comes back to what happens in the most private parts of our lives. I worked late Friday. I had a couple busy weeks and get to go see my son graduate from basic training next week. And so I was working late in the office. And I was leaving about 7 o'clock Friday, and Pastor Steve was by here, and he was like, "Are you leaving?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, it's about time." I said, "I'll probably hear that when I get home, too." But I didn't. They were busy on some things, and I still had part of my sermon prepped to do. And so my sermon was is about spending time with your family, you know, but I was, I'm so busy here this week. And but I got home, and several of the kids were around, and I was like, man, I have so much to do. But, you know, I knew what my priority was, and I just had to kind of shift because I can get in that work mode and kind of stay there and just say, that's very secondary right now, and I'm going to have to preach, and that probably means I'm going to be up late and and up early to work on some things. But I just want to hang out with my family, and they can pour into me, and I can pour into them, and thank you, guys. That means a lot. I appreciate that. You see, which will our family exemplify? What do they see as a priority? It's not Tim Wilcox preaching a sermon from the pulpit. There's one pastor, he asked his kids, "What's the most memorable sermon that you ever heard your dad preach?" And they said, "It's his life." It's the private world. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You see, rules are important, but relationship is more. Authority is necessary, but influence is more. We need to talk the talk, but more importantly, we need to walk the walk. The heart is vital to our physical health. We know that, Doug. Doug just had a great surgery and he's doing well. I'm glad you're here. So I had a couple of stents put in a few Sundays ago. He was here at church and he went home and started having chest pains, and his guys think, hey, it's just indigestion, right? And then he ends up having a heart attack and having several surgeries, and he's just remained faithful. Heart's important, right? Is that true, Janet? Yeah. And she's telling him, you know, you need, she was calling him because she wasn't around, you need to go to the hospital. I'm fine, you know. And he shared with me some of the signs that it was. I was like, man, that, you know. Don't be a tough guy. If you have some issues, go to the doctor, right? Yeah, get those things taken care of. So the physical heart is important, but I can tell you this. Just as the physical heart is important to our physical life, our spiritual heart is important to our spiritual life. And we've got to have this idea, I'm going to walk within my house with a perfect heart. If we're going to leave a legacy and pass these things on, we've got to have some goals in our life, this vision, the mission, the legacy that God would have us to be of making disciples even in our home. See, there are some wrong targets that we can have, and I just listed a few. I want my kids to be popular, so they've got to wear certain clothes and do certain things. Or I want my kids to be good at sports, and so they're so active in sports, they're not active in church programs, and family life is impacted. I want them to have a good education, which is very important because you know, I want them to have a career. I want them to have a good job so they can have money. And I'm not against any of those things, but the great commission is to make disciples, and the great commandment is to love God and to love others. Them having a right heart, right actions, having compassion in their life toward others. You see, more important than our actions, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, right? But God sees into the heart. One day, Jesus was talking to these religious leaders, and they were doing everything well from an outward perspective. All the Jewish people would look at these Pharisees and say, man, if I could just be as religious as them, if I could be as godly as them. But Jesus looked at them and saw beyond their actions. And he actually wasn't impressed with their actions because he was focused on something else. In Matthew 15, verse 8, Jesus said this, this people draws nigh or near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, it's one thing to have these outward actions, whether we're at church or the community, at work, or even at home, but what is going on in our hearts? That's what Jesus wants to know. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So I don't think those are very good targets, but the book of Ephesians gives us some goals, some plans, several things that I think are very vital for us as parents. Look at Ephesians 6 and certainly as grandparents as well. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says this, children. And I never really thought about this until I was putting this message together. God is addressing not parents here, but he's talking directly to our children. The first 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs is a father talking to his son, and over again, my son, my son, my son. God is directly saying here to children. See, the Bible isn't just for us as adults or teenagers, but the Bible is also for our kids. That's why we want to teach them and to train them. That's why we have Awana and Children's Church, and that's why as a family, it's not just about taking your kids to church, but it's teaching these things in our home as well. Children, this is what I want you to do. And notice what he says. Children, this is the first target here. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what God expects? Obedience. He wants our kids to be obedient. Now, I know if you listen to the modern psychology and look at all these things, that, you know, just be equal with your kids, become their friends, let everything be equal. Always just ask them questions. And let me say, we can go too strong the other side, and we're going to deal with that a little bit later. But God is very clear about this, that God has a role for us, and it's to bring our kids to obedience. This idea of authority is not a bad thing. It is a very good thing. This is to be the target. This is what God wants us to do. And I listed just a few things. Why would we want our kids to be obedient? Because obedience requires discipline. And if our kids are going to be successful in life, they have to learn personal discipline. If kids can do whatever they please and they don't learn how to control themselves, how are they going to do well at school? How are they going to do well in the future careers? How can they adjust to community? They want to do their own thing, and so the teacher becomes the bad guy. Government leadership, the police, or whatever becomes the bad guy because they have learned that they could just do whatever they want. Discipline, submission, submitting to authority, self-control, discernment, learning right from wrong, this personal development. Now, as parents, sometimes when our kids don't obey, what do? We get angry. And maybe we scream at our kids, or maybe we punish them, and we're spanking them out of anger, which is abuse, by the way, if we're doing that. And we lose control. We don't really focus on biblical authority because our kids say, well, why should I do right? Because I said. Listen. That's okay for a 2 or 3 year old. That's understandable. But as our kids grow up, we've got to tell them why. We've got to teach them what God has to say about it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. That's what we're to do. And we're to help our children and our grandchildren in these aspects. Bring them along. Also, parents sometimes have the wrong example. We may not have the right targets. What do we want to do with our kids? How are we trying to make them disciples of Jesus Christ, to be followers of him? The first idea is obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, second, notice what it says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Here's the second target. Not only do we want to bring our kids to obedience, we want to bring them to honoring us, to showing respect. This is a hard issue. A child can listen outwardly, and they learn to say the yes sirs or yes ma'ams, but if they don't learn the heart issue of obedience and respect beyond that, they are going to miss out on what God wants them to learn. This never ceases. The idea of obedience happens when our children are younger as they grow up, but there comes an age when our children don't obey us anymore, right? There gets to be an age that you can't control them any longer. They're going to do certain things, but as they're growing up, you're to guide them. You're to help them through the process. You're not to give them such independence and uniqueness that they determine their issues in life. It's your job as a parent, train them up in the way they should go, right? That's our responsibility, to bring them along to obedience and to honor. And this job is not given to the church. It's not given. I lost an acorn there. Okay. So Sometimes, just if you're new around here, my ADD acts up, and so, acorn flies by or butterfly or whatever, and so we get distracted, but we do get back on track eventually, all right, by the end of the service. So I did lose an acorn. I'm just thinking, what are people that are listening to the video in the future thinking? What is really going on at that church? Anyway, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. You see, this is the aspect. God designed the home. God designed marriage. Marriage is one man and one woman. That's what God designed. He knew that children needed maleness and femaleness. God created man and God created woman. That idea of marriage is to be the security, the safety net of what a home is to be like. That's why God hates divorce. Now, maybe you're a single mom or single dad or dealing with that. You know, God's grace is awesome, and hopefully the church family and your personal family can make a difference. But God's ultimate plan is that man and that woman come together in this secure environment, and they bring their kids up on these targets of learning obedience and learning honor and bringing about these aspects. Men carry certain strengths that only men can provide. Women carry certain strengths that only women can provide. Isn't that true? You know, men tend to have more authority. You know, sometimes ladies are like, man, I tell my kids and tell them, but when dad says, hey, get to bed right now, they just kind of, and they just do it. They're pretty good with authority. And you know what? Women tend to be more influencers. The hand that rocks the cradle, what? Rules the world. What is that? It's not about authority. It's about influence. Ladies, you have much more influence than the average husband around here. You have key influence, the way you make a difference, right? I mean, if my kids ultimately acted like me, they'd be kind of jerky. Their jokes would be stupid. Their sarcasm would hurt people's feelings and stuff. I mean, where did they get their good qualities? They got it from their mom, you know, and those things. That's why God designs a man with certain strengths and a woman with certain strengths. And God says, hey, this is what I want for the home. And I want to bring them to obedience. I want them to learn honor. Why? Well, look there again. Verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. In Ephesians, here's what the promise is. He really makes it a personal promise, that if you do the right thing, I'm going to bless you personally. But where does this promise come from? It comes from the Ten Commandments. When God is giving the Ten Commandments, you recall, Israel is leaving Egypt, and they're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. They are going into their personal land that God had promised them, and they're going to create this incredible society. And so he gives them the Ten Commandments to teach them this, and one of those is the Ten Commandments of honoring your parents. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says this, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here's what he's saying. When you go into the promised land, I want you to teach your kids to honor, and I want the children to honor so that society remains whole. That you as a nation have order and have respect and reverence. And if you as a society will do what you need to do, then you will be able to accomplish what I have called you to accomplish. The family is what offers stability in society. The home is primary. The strength of our nation, the foundation of our community, and the future of our churches is the home. And so we deal with cultural issues of morality and government and church and family, that it may be well with us, that we live long, the personal benefits as well as society. So obedience and bringing our kids to authority, teaching them respect, teaching them to care for people and to understand that we're to love God and we're to love other people. We're not to be rude, but we are to help people to grow in their faith. Verse 4 says this, and ye fathers, certainly he's talking to all parents, moms and dads, but particularly he's mentioning dads here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I said I was going to come back to this. Do you know what? Dads, if we're not careful, we can just bark out orders and expect our kids to do certain things without really loving them, without really having a relationship. Years ago, I read this, children rebel authority. Teenagers rebel against relationship. You know, as our kids grow, they're going to have more freedoms. They have more influences around them. And it's not going to be just because I said so that's going to make a difference, but it's you pouring into their heart the Word of God by your lips and by your example. You see, I understand working hard, and you drive up and down 95, you have a lot going on, and maybe you come home from the end of the day emotionally or physically exhausted, but God wants you to pour into your family, to love your wife, to love your kids, to care for them when they're frustrated. Don't holler at them. Don't be a jerk toward them. Don't spank them out of anger. That doesn't help anything. How do you bring control to your child by you being out of control? And us trying to help our children, the raising of our grandchildren, pouring into them, helping them to make good decisions. Boy, as I look back, you know, my daughter just mentioned about emotions. I've never had much need for emotions. Any of you guys? You know, if you ask me, how you feeling today, Tim? I have no idea. I don't really care. I got a to-do list to do. You know what I'm saying? And I have a lot to do. But I need counseling for that, okay? I mean, that's not a good thing. And so as my kids have been brought up, you know, I thought, I'm glad my daughter is saying, you know what, we want our kids and our grandkids to express emotion. That is a good quality. You know, it's some weaknesses that I could have done a better job of. And at times, you know, that probably provoked my kids. Fathers, don't provoke your kids. But do what? Don't tear them down, but bring them up in the nurture. See, that's for guys too. We're to nurture our kids. We're to love them. We're to pour into them. And the admonition, that's teaching them, that's training them, that's warning them, that's pouring into them. That means we've got to talk. We've got to share. We've got to let the Word of God bubble out of our heart into their hearts. And we can't change the past, but we can deal with where we are today. There was a Sunday school teacher that was describing Jesus. She said to the class, I'm thinking of someone that's kind, gentle, who loves all the time, that cares for you when you get hurt, that is forgiving and gives us nice things. For her, the answer is Jesus. Remember, it's always supposed to be Jesus, right? It's supposed to be the answer. It reminds me of I know I'm going to go off here for a second here, but the person, the Sunday school teacher that said, I'm thinking of something that eats nuts and has a furry tail. And one of the Sunday school kids raised their hand and said, it sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer's got to be Jesus, right? So anyway, in this story, a different story here. So she's thinking about Jesus. That's the right answer. Loving, kind, gracious, helpful. And the little boy raised his hand. That sounds like my mommy. See, we are the Jesus that our kids need to see in our own daily life. Here's what we need to be like Abraham, who is the father of the Jews that had the promise in Exodus 20 to have this land. And in Genesis 18, verse 19, the Bible says this, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. You know what God said? Abraham was leading his family. I asked one guy, why don't you teach your kids the right things? Why don't you bring them up right? He said, my wife won't let me. I'm like, okay. Women, you know, have a part here, but he needs to step up and be a leader, right? Abraham commanded his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. Notice this, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him, and that's the promise, that he was going to create a legacy. So here's what I want you to do. Today, we are having parents dedicate their children. But before child dedication, we need to do a parent dedication. And not only do we need a parent dedication, each one in our individual lives, we need to be dedicated to the plan that God has. Here's a couple things that I thought about. It's important in my life. I need to be dedicated to prayer. I need to be dedicated to following the Bible. I need to be dedicated to surrendering myself to the Holy Spirit. I need to be dedicated to be a godly example. I need to be dedicated to training up my children in the way that they should go. So here's what we're going to do. As we think of this verse in Exodus, that he commanded his household that they would keep the way of the Lord. Before we can ask our kids to do what they should do, we need to do what we need to do. It's not just about telling them what to do, it's about living it out in our own life. And the reality, if you're like me, I fail very often. But you know what? We can still leave a legacy. Didn't Abraham have problems? David had problems. Moses had problems. Every leader in the Bible had problems. They're not perfect. But God is very forgiving. And the reality is, when we can be honest with our family and real and transparent and say, yeah, I have flaws, but I'm working on it. If we're really working on it, there's a lot of grace that our family provides for us as well. So I want you to dedicate yourself this morning. We're going to have a moment where we have a song playing. And maybe you want to come pray for your family, or you, as we stand up, you just remain seated and pray for your family, pray for yourself. Maybe you have a grandchild that isn't living for God. Maybe your marriage isn't what it should be, and you just want to pray for a few minutes, or you can come forward and we'll have somebody pray with you. And then, after a couple verses, we have three families that are coming for our child dedication. We have the Flowers family, the Scott family, and the Frost family. And I'm going to ask them to introduce their family, to say something about their child. And if you have a goal, a target for your child, we'll take a moment to share that. But let me have us bow in prayer for just a moment. Friend, Jesus loves us. God is our Heavenly Father. Do you know that when you die that you're going to go to heaven? Do you know that our Heavenly Father is there to minister to us, that Jesus wants to be our Savior, that the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us and to be our guide? As we sang today about singing and rejoicing in the midst of a storm, that's only possible as the Holy Spirit guides us. Let Him come into your life. If you're not sure you're headed for heaven, call upon His name. Ask Him to be your Savior. He died for you. He died for each one of us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Help us to leave a legacy. May your will be done in our individual lives. Father, forgive us. Cleanse us. Fill us. May you control us that we can leave here living out the admonitions that you've called us to. May we be a godly example. I pray that there's some men in this room will ask forgiveness from their families today. I pray that there's some priorities that are set straight in families. Dear God, help us to be what we need to be. In Jesus' name.